There's a constant effort to find ways to better take care of senior citizens and people with disabilities. The effort takes on some urgency at this point in history because of the demographic bulge of the baby boom generation. That's a lot of people entering senior citizenship over the course of the next decade and a half. The state of Oregon is looking for innovations in the care of seniors and people with disabilities, looking as in willing to spend some money on pilot projects and programs that have not been tried before. In fact, there is something called the Aging and People with Disabilities Innovations Fund, helping the process along. Bob Weir is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Advocacy and Development Manager in the Department of Human Services, specifically in the Aging and People with Disabilities program. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Jeffrey.
So if you would, give us the overview. What kinds of services are provided to people through the Aging and People with Disabilities program?
Well, Oregon has been a national leader in terms of community-based care, so we actually serve folks that in other states may be served in nursing homes in their own homes. Close to 50% of the folks that need services get those services in their own homes. But we also have what we call community-based settings, adult foster care homes, residential care facilities, assisted living facilities, so a variety of different types of facilities that may, you know, give a lot of choice and opportunity for people to pick the setting that works best for them if they want to choose an out-of-the-home setting. And, of course, then we have the traditional nursing home setting as well.
You mentioned that figure right off the bat. Just by chance, I ran into somebody who works for an aging program in the Rogue Valley who mentioned a very similar figure. And so the fact is that Oregon is actually well above the national average, it sounds like, and far, far above California in the percentage of people who are able to age in their homes.
Yeah, we're quite proud of that. We think that, you know, the majority of folks, if you ask before they have a need, would say, you know, that would be their wish, is that they could stay in their home as long as possible. And that's really something we've been proud of as our historical heritage. But we don't want to rest on our laurels, which is kind of the topic for today, is you know, how can we even be more innovative and helpful in terms of our programs going forward?
The programs that got us to this point in the state of Oregon, I mean, are these things that have been, was there a point at which Oregon was sort of there with the national average on people aging in homes, and that has climbed over the years through application of new programs, new services?
So really, back in, you know, the early 80s, the opportunity to look at waivers, so really we were kind of equivalent across the country. Everyone really used nursing facility as the type of care model, and Oregon was the first state in the country to say, you know, there might be a better way and apply for a waiver. So we really led the charge in terms of saying, you know, which back then was a hugely innovative idea, is, you know, to you know, take someone out of a nursing facility and say we could provide these services in the home was kind of a risky concept, and we didn't know if we could pull it off. And we obviously found we were able to, and quite successful. And now other states are trying to you know, come along and follow the Oregon model.
Are services provided by DHS? Are they provided by other agencies? Are they provided? I mean, it's kind of hard to untangle things with area agencies on aging and DHS and all the other partners involved.
Sure. You know, really, it would be a myth that most folks need government help for these services. We serve somewhere between 3% and 4% that do, you know, need assistance with paying for this kind of care. But the majority of Oregonians, you know, pay for this out of their own pocket. Family and friends, unpaid caregivers is a huge component of the Oregon system. But by having numerous options available, some supported by, you know, government programs, but, you know, also provides a landscape in which the private pay citizen can hopefully find an affordable option for themselves as well. So it really helps, you know, no matter what kind of financial situation you're in, having lots of good options and methods to do it. So often what a person might just need from the local office or the AAA, like you said, is maybe information about how do you go about setting up a plan of in-home help. And if with given a little support and a little bit of information, that might be all a person needs to be able to stay in their own home.
So is the issue of providing the having this innovations fund out there, is it more about just getting a new generation of people who are going to need services and making sure that they're aware of what's available for them?
It could be that. It's really about testing. Let me put it this way. Government has been criticized in the past of not being like private industry. If you're in private industry, say you're in the pharmaceutical industry, you're probably investing heavily in research and development, looking for that next, big drug. Or if you're Apple or Microsoft, you're already working on that next generation of phone technology for the consumer. This is, in essence, our concept of a research and development fund. And while we're not doing anywhere near what private industry does in terms of 40% of their dollars into research and development, this is less than 1% of our funding that we're really trying to get to test. Are there new ideas out there that can improve quality and or improve the cost effectiveness of the types of care we give to folks? And it's kind of the idea that it's not necessarily government doesn't always have all the answers. Are there folks out there in the trenches in the real world that have ideas and that we can test? And if we test those and they're home runs, then maybe we find ways to add that to our toolbox in terms of services that would be more widely available to seniors.
Bob Weir is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about providing programs for seniors and people with disabilities in Oregon in new ways, and looking to find and stimulate those new ways through the Aging and People with Disabilities Innovations Fund. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So was the Aging and People with Disabilities Innovations Fund a legislative creation? Did it come from an idea within the department? How did it all come about?
Yeah, so we have it really was a combination of Mike McCormick, the director of Aging and People with Disabilities, had this kind of concept of we should be investing in our future and not just rest on, the fact that we're a national leader. How do we generate some new ideas? He put that forward as a legislative concept. The legislature approved a little over $2 million for us to move forward with this idea. And so this is really the first iteration of it with the release of these grant proposals. And so that's how it came about. And we're just real thrilled that it was supported legislatively. And I'm sure folks are eager to see how this plays out.
So would the programs proposed for grants, would these necessarily be new programs? Could they be existing services provided in different ways, some combination thereof?
Yeah, it would really need to be somewhat new and an idea. So it could be an idea that is happening somewhere, but it's never been tested or studied. So one of the components that we think is a hugely important component of how we've structured these proposals is these proposals need to have some element of a third-party review. It's one thing to do a project and everyone feels good about it, but we really wanted to have a measurement component that was attached to these so that we could measure the success of these programs.
All right. So are there examples, you think, of low-hanging fruit, things that might be obvious sorts of service? I'm trying to get this down to the actual rubber meets the road level and figure out what kinds of things can be done for people in aging and people with disability situations.
Sure. I think a lot can be done on the preventative side of things, or some predictive modeling kind of things. Let me give some examples, and these are just totally, off the top of my head, but so someone has an idea that we could hook up neighbors with a senior, or and that two things that would be would maybe affect somebody's independence or their mobility and their mental functioning. So they have an idea that we could have, you know, someone read a chapter a day, and then they're going to take a walk around the block to talk about that. And so they're doing a little exercise. They're exercising their brain in terms of the reading and then discussion of this book. And you measure whether, you know, someone that's in that kind of program is more successful in aging as someone that didn't do that kind of a program. So not a lot of cost to doing something like that, but kind of an intervention that someone can think of that is, you know, low cost, low impact, really do a lot to improve someone's health and functioning.
Something like the SMART program for kids, the way you describe it, but for senior citizens instead.
Sure. Could for folks that use the emergency room a lot, some of these highly ill folks that are using medical resources could return to doctor's home visits, save costs on the medical side, and testing out with, say, 10 individuals that have high emergency room numbers. If we were to do the old school, you know, doctor home visit to them, would that, you know, eliminate emergency room usage and save a lot of costs in the system? These are just ideas to stimulate thinking, because we're really open to whatever kind of ideas might come in, and we're thinking that folks are pretty creative out there at the ground level, and I think they're eager to try these things. We've heard there's a lot of interest in these grants, and so we're really hoping that's the case. And we get a good problem to have will be having so many good ideas that it'll be hard to choose which ones we're actually going to end up funding.
It would seem like there's some rich possibilities just in the way you described things with the emergency room, given the fact that we got the Affordable Care Act coming online, there are coordinated care organizations in Oregon helping provide services, and this Innovation Fund money. It seems like people could probably find a way to connect some dots to get all those working together for seniors and people with disabilities.
Yeah, I think so. So someone could, for example, test an idea of a real simple assessment that could assess risk that someone might have in the future, and then some kind of intervention off that risk. So it could be kind of a simple fall risk, a couple questions that get at whether someone's at risk for falls, and if so, provide some a little bit of support around that, like maybe modifying the home with some handrails and maybe a ramp or something, and does that, you know, prevent falls, which can lead to broken hips and you know, medical costs. So I think there's just many ideas out there, more than we can probably speculate. But hopefully this kind of discussion, you know, how gets people's creative thinking going and would have an interest in maybe seeing that there's a funding possibility for an idea they've had for a long time that they thought could help the system.
But can it be individuals, or does it have to be an existing agency or nonprofit or something that amounts to a group or association?
So it can be. One of the thing this is Oregon's money and out of state in Oregon, so the criteria is that it's an Oregon-based individual entity, but that can be an individual. It can be a nonprofit organization, a for-profit business, any non-state government agency. The idea was government kind of already has a handle on this. We have influence over the system, and our ideas can be shared. So this was really an attempt to get it outside government and in the hands of the more common folk.
The $2 million you mentioned in the Aging and People with Disabilities Innovations Fund is for the entire biennium, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, so a two-year period then. And then what would be the largest individual grant, or is there a cap?
Yeah, we have it in two buckets. We basically have grants up to $350,000, and so that would be the largest number that we're anticipating funding. So that $350,000 level, we would need a letter of intent for someone that was going to, you know, go after that by June 10th. So that's a pretty pretty important deadline to get out there. And then we have smaller grants under $50,000. And the intent behind the smaller grants is, I think I mentioned at the start of this program, that we have very small business providers like adult foster homes that may serve, you know, five or less seniors. But even, you know, in that realm of senior care, there may be some ideas out there. And so we wanted to get a grant amount that could go to some groups that maybe, you know, haven't applied for grants in the past and have a little simpler process for those lower dollar amount grants, and maybe a little less rigor in terms of the evaluation component. But it allows folks that maybe never have been able to participate in a grant request before and have that opportunity.
And this is all done online, Bob, is that right?
Yes, you would need to go to the Oregon Procurement Information Network. Oregon government's famous for acronyms, ORPIN, ORPIN, and you would go on there, and both these grant proposals are posted, and the information on how to apply is there.
All right, we'll provide a link to that on our Facebook page later in the day. Bob Weir is the Advocacy and Development Manager in the Aging and People with Disabilities Program in the Oregon Department of Human Services. It takes a lot longer to say his title than his name, but Bob, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, you're so welcome.